Ask any analyst, pundit, reporter in the national media, and they tell you that the San Francisco 49ers win and win big. How'd that work out for you guys? Welcome to the Ravens Talk Podcast. I'm your host, Samuel Njoku. 49ers lose to the Baltimore Ravens. Shocker if you're not paying attention to the podcast. Shocker if you're not a Ravens fan, bleeding purple. But that's the way it goes on Monday Night Football. Today, we'll talk all about that big win against the 49ers. We'll talk about a huge game coming up against the Miami Dolphins. We'll talk all about that. We'll have Stephen Daniels, who's the host of the Dolphins Talk Podcast. He'll come in and give us his insight on what could happen. Get a peek into enemy lines as the Ravens and Dolphins do better on what's going to be a pivotal matchup coming up. But first, Ravens do what they have to do. Ravens get the job done. And if you guys have been paying attention to me all week throughout social media or on this podcast, I've been screaming to the heavens. The Ravens are going to win. They're going to win against those 49ers. There's too many things I saw on film, too many things I saw on tape that dictate that the Ravens were going to get a huge win in front of the world. And that's exactly what happened. Now, there wasn't really much back and forth between the Ravens fans and 49ers fans. Very respectful in some regards. I mean, there are instances where I saw that the 49ers fans saying, oh, we're going to win big because the Ravens haven't seen a defense like ours, or the offense of the Ravens may not be up to snuff against, you know, the pass rush or what have you, yada, yada, yada. Simple banter from passionate fans, but I think this week was really about the Ravens fans and the national media. Now, if you guys follow me on social media, you know that my tone was a little different this week. I was very, very agitated, if I'm going to be quite honest. We're a family now, so I can be honest with you. I wasn't very happy. The national media, it just seemed like there wasn't much conversation. If you look at what was going on, the number one seed for the AFC versus the number one seed for the NFC, head-to-head, so much hype. The conversation could have been beautiful. It could have been talking about how the Ravens offense would do against the front four of the 49ers, or how the Ravens defense may have difficulties against Ayuk and Debo and Kittle. Spirited conversations against each other about what the outcome of the game was going to be. But that's not what took place. That's not what happened. It was such a one-sided conversation. It was all about how great Purdy is as the MVP candidate, how great the 49ers are going to be, and how they won't match up to anybody. Mike Florio from NBC made a comment saying that the Ravens were going to get the shit kicked out of them against the 49ers. There was no chance the Ravens were going to win. Richard Sherman, a 49ers lover, obviously, who played for the 49ers, gave no love to the Ravens, not even an ounce of doubt in his mind that the 49ers were going to come out on top. Shannon Sharp, a former tight end for the Ravens, continues to disprove anything dealing with the Ravens. He doesn't believe in the Ravens, even though he's a former Raven himself and he knows what goes on in that building. The list goes on. I mean, I could talk for hours about how these guys continue to discount and simply do not believe in this team. And that, to me, comes down to one thing. You're not prepared. You're not analyzing the film. Watch the film. Anybody could have seen that the Ravens do well against defensive fronts like the 49ers. The Ravens have had a game plan against that since the Ravens lost to the Chargers way back when, in 2018, when they were confused by what the opposing defense had for them. Since then, the Ravens have been on the mission to counter out that. And now that they have a passing attack to go on with the rushing game, pick your poison. Pick your poison. So it was going to be a very difficult test for the 49ers, who have never played a team like the Ravens. And the Ravens defense, on the other hand, had a huge opportunity to silence critics going against Brock Purdy, a second-year quarterback who has not seen many defensive coverages in the National Football League. And you're going to ask him to go against a defense like this? A defense that blitzes 19th in the league, ranked-wise? Who do not blitz at all. Disguise coverages. Forces you to make both pre-snap and post-snap reads. You have to decide as a quarterback, is what you're seeing before the snap the same thing that's happening post-snap? That's what Brock Purdy had to do. Oh, and while you're deciphering that, dodge these huge pass rushers. Calculating all that in your head, can you make an NFL throw? He threw four interceptions. Four. Four. The quarterbacks total threw five. Why? Because Purdy didn't play the second half of the fourth quarter. So the Ravens showed out. Very impressive win. The most impressive win. In the grand scheme of things, it doesn't mean much. The Ravens have to go and play the Dolphins, win the one seed, and use that bye week to elevate themselves to a Super Bowl championship. That's the name of the game. And that's what the Ravens talked about. If you had a chance, or if you haven't, go look at the post-game speech. It shows a lot, really. I love looking at those speeches during losses and wins. And this is a big win. Very emotional win for the Ravens. So they talked about it on during their speech after the game. Kyle Van Noy led the charge with that, saying, enjoy the win. Enjoy what you accomplished because it was a big deal. But know that the job is not finished. Lamar Jackson echoed those sentiments afterwards, but the job's not done. The Patriots went 18-0. They won all of their games, reached the Super Bowl, and lost. Nobody will ever remember their name. Nobody will remember that the Patriots went undefeated because they didn't. They lost. 18-1 is the record. It might say 16-0 in the record books, but in everybody else's eyes, 18-1. The games mean more. And to pivot off that, let's move on to the MVP talks. Because it was Brock Purdy versus Lamar Jackson. And I sat here in this chair and I told you, whoever wins this game between Purdy and Jackson will likely win the MVP. Jackson won. And he won emphatically. It wasn't like he was riding on the coattails of the defense, which he did. He got help from that defense. I'm not going to sit here and say the defense did not help. The defense pretty much stole the show. At least they tried to. Lamar Jackson had something to say about that. He looked amazing out there. Besides the 20-yard run to the end zone that followed by a trip to a referee and cost themselves a safety, Lamar Jackson played outstanding football. Now, I heard from Kurt Warner and some other pundits who said, you know, well, can the Ravens do this? Can they last against good teams in the postseason playing this style of football? The Ravens just beat the crap out of the 49ers. Why is that a question right now? It's not whether or not the Ravens can sustain the success playing this style. It's who can stop the Ravens playing this style. Is it the 49ers who just got that butt whooped on national television, who prior to that beat the Cowboys emphatically, beat the Eagles emphatically? Is it the Lions who the Ravens just beat recently? Is it the Dolphins? We'll find out next week. But that narrative, shut it down. And that's the thing with the Ravens. We're going to keep moving goalposts. Just get used to it, Ravens fans. The goalposts will continue to shift. Is Lamar Jackson the MVP candidate? Question answered. Can the defense stop a top-tier quarterback? Question answered a long time ago, but emphatically answered on Christmas night. Can the offensive line hold up against a premier pass rush? Lamar Jackson looked good to me. Clean. No unnecessary hits. Ronnie Stanley deserves a lot of praise because we have criticized this guy for being unable to anchor, for being unable to handle pass rushers, especially if they're top tier. But he looked relentless. He had something to prove, and he proved it. The entire offensive line did. From Linderbaum to Stanley. Perfect game from the offensive line. So hopefully they build upon that and continue as Bradley Chubb comes into town. But that team that I saw, Super Bowl, they are laser focused, folks. Laser focused. And yeah, they used the media as fuel. Shout out to John Harbaugh. John Harbaugh did a wonderful job, I'm sure, motivating these troops. You guys ask yourselves, why is John Harbaugh here after all these times? Since 2008, he's been here. He's not really an X's and O's guy. It's something that I laugh at all the time because he is. But he's not known to be a guy to dial up a play and call plays for himself. He delegates that task, as great leaders often do. So you ask yourself, why is John Harbaugh so successful? Games like this. He knows how to motivate his troops. And I mentioned it on social media a few days ago. This game reminded me so much of the Ravens versus Dallas Cowboys. The last game at Cowboys Stadium, way back when, they had Ray Lewis and those boys fired up, lied to them and said, hey, the Cowboys asked for you guys to come here. They wanted to have their last game against the Ravens because they knew they were going to beat you. Lied through their teeth. Not true. But the fans, I'm sorry, not the fans. I don't know if the fans were gullible enough, but the players definitely fell for it. The players were relentless. I still remember the call on television with Deion Sanders saying, are you kidding me? Because the Ravens shocked the world, and they did it again. So the Ravens don't need fuel. The year 2019 keeps ringing. Lamar Jackson, unprovoked, brings up 2019 a lot. He knows he's probably going to win the MVP award. He knows the pressure that comes with that. The pressure to deliver a Super Bowl. Something that he wants more than anything. If you ask him if he wants MVP award or Super Bowl, he's going to say Super Bowl. He wants it bad. So he's focused. He's got this team focused. John Harbaugh has his team focused. And they're ready to go. So shout out to the Ravens. Huge win. That I expected to be this much of a deficit for the 49ers. It really is, in my opinion, a 33-10 victory. Because that's what I saw on the field. That type of butt whooping. Did I expect that? No. I thought the Ravens were going to run the ball, meaning they had less chances to score points. But the 49ers pretty much said, we're going to stop the run now. We're going to delay our guys, our linebackers from coming at the ball carrier. We're going to wait to see what you do and then attack. So the Ravens were given no opportunity to really develop the run game from the start. So what did they do? Dice them up is what they did. When Lamar Jackson didn't find anybody downfield, he made it happen with his legs in a spectacular fashion. Spectacular fashion. So the 49ers defense had no shots. No shots at winning this game. And if you were an analyst, if you watched film and deciphered it correctly, it was an easy decision. Easy. I'm not saying you blow out the team, but a comfortable win for sure. I had no doubts the Ravens are going to win this game, and that's what happened. And, of course, my predictions have been correct because I've been picking the Ravens to win since October, and they've been winning since October. And we'll see what happens against the Miami Dolphins. This is a 17-game season for the NFL teams this year. It could be 16 for the Ravens. The Ravens could lock it up this week against the Dolphins and then have the opportunity, the privilege of resting their starters against the Steelers, who may be fighting for a playoff spot themselves. Something that we'll talk about when the time comes, but we're really going to key in and focus on this Dolphins game because it's a huge one. Probably the last big one for the Ravens in the regular season before their quest for the Lombardi Trophy in Las Vegas begins. When we get back, we'll talk to the Dolphins talk host, talk all about that Ravens-Dolphins matchup. Back in Baltimore, the Ravens are done playing away games, and likely, if they get this win, their next away game will be in Las Vegas for the Super Bowl, a prediction I made back in August. Against who? The 49ers, who they just beat by 2 touchdowns. Just listen to me, guys. Pay attention. Focus up. This is going to be a special season. We'll talk to him next on the Ravens Talk Podcast. Welcome back to the Ravens Talk Podcast. We have with us Steven Daniels, who's the host of Clock Blockers on DolphinsTalk.com. Welcome to the podcast.
What's going on, man? Excited to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. It's been a big week for both of us. The Dolphins and the Ravens shed a lot of doubters. Dolphins were known to be a team by some pundits who said that they weren't able to win against quality opponents, and the Ravens couldn't beat a big-time team like the 49ers. Both teams get the dub, and that sets up a huge game, which is likely for the AFC number one seed Sunday in Baltimore. How are your thoughts about that so far?
I'm truly excited about it. We're hosting a big tailgate, an event there called the Baltimore Beatdown. We were there last year. We were at like 160 people strong at the tailgate. We expect a similar amount this year. We partnered up with Jimmy's Famous Seafood. So we're going to be at Jimmy's Famous Seafood on Saturday nights, hanging out, doing a fan meet and greet. And then on Sunday, we're going to be at the famous tailgate right next to the stadium. We have our own little VIP section inside of it. So it's going to be a lot of fun, but I'm expecting this to be the game of the year. I think the two teams match up very, very well. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to like in this matchup, and I'm excited for it. And I hope it ends the same way it did last year for us with a victory.
Yeah. And I was there for last year's meeting, and the Ravens got up to an early lead, and then things didn't go so well.
28-point lead. You guys had a 28-point lead and blew it.
All right. Didn't need the details, man, but the fans know. The Ravens.
Oh, they do. They do. Marcus Peters knew all about it, too. I think that's why he didn't end up returning back with you guys, is because of that game alone, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and it was tough. You didn't have Mike McDonald, okay? Or did we? We did have Mike McDonald in the beginning of that, didn't we?
Yeah.
And he still got – all right, so that's going to be different. Okay, so let's focus on it, because the two teams are – like you said, very evenly matched. Yeah. The Dolphins have the ability to score at will in any team, including Vontae Ravens' defense. Jalen Waddle looked like he was injured. They're calling it a high ankle sprain. Have you heard anything about the status of the game?
It's a grade two ankle sprain. He could be out, 2 weeks. He could play on Sunday. I don't know. I can tell you what end up happening after, if you watch the Dolphins' social media after the game, you see him running off the field.
Oh.
So he was running after the game to the locker room, and he was jumping around in the locker room. So, I think they're going to be very they're going to take all the precautions with him. And I think it's going to be a game time decision when it's all said and done. But he hasn't practiced this week. I don't think he will.
Okay.
And I think it's going to end up being a game time decision. Look, this is an interesting. We've never been in this situation, right? This is for the Dolphins. We're playing for the number one seed. We have a chance to, clinch the division. We've never really been in this position in the last 30 years. So this is a very unique situation for us. So, look, if he can go, even if it's to be a decoy, I think he will. But I think it's a game time decision ultimately for Jalen Waddle.
Yeah, and the Ravens can clinch the AFC number one seed, but the Dolphins can't. But in my opinion, I think that whoever wins this game is likely going to get it.
We can clinch the division, but I think we need to beat you guys, and we need to the Browns, if I'm correct, to lose. I don't think we can clinch the number one till the following week.
No, you guys can't, but it'll go a long way. I think your shot of winning the number one seed shoots up to like in the 90s if you get the job done this week. I think it's a foregone conclusion. So it's a big game. And
it's a huge game.
The Dolphins are one of those teams who have been, because of their lack of success in recent history, have been kind of flying under the radar. Tua gets, I think, as much flack as Dak Prescott or any other quarterback because they haven't seen it from him in the postseason. I've talked about it ad nauseum. For you to make a name for yourself as a QB in this league, you have to do it in the postseason. Do you guys, I haven't looked, I think I'm assuming you guys are going to be the underdogs based on what the...
we are 3.5 points as of today. Okay. We're 3.5 point underdogs.
And that means it's pretty much even because you guys are playing away. So it's going to be one of those games. What are your thoughts on Tua's play this season? A lot of people consider him to be a candidate for MVP along with Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson so far.
Well, we can just remove Josh Allen's name. He doesn't need to be in there at all. I'm not a huge fan of his in any way, shape, or form.
I agree.
I think it comes down to two people, and those two people are Lamar Jackson and Tua. Mm-hmm. And you go look at the numbers, Tua has the numbers to prove that he is an MVP of this league. He has the wins to back it up. And ultimately, look, we saw what he was without Tyreek Hill. He still put up those numbers. He still put up, those drives that were needed. I think Tua is the MVP, But I think the winner of Sunday's game will determine who the MVP of this league is. That's how big this game is, right? Like, not only is it for potentially the number one seed, not only is it for bragging rights, it's for probably the MVP of the NFL this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's exciting, man. That's really exciting. Again, you know how the saying goes, act like you've been there before?
Yeah.
Dolphin fans have never been here before. We do not know how to act, okay? Acting a fool right now. We're enjoying the ride, and it's a beautiful thing. I love it, man. I'm super stoked for it.
Yeah, I have a couple of friends who are Dolphins fans who are very excited about it. You guys deserve it. You guys have been through it. Since Dan Marino, you guys really haven't had a quarterback come in and do things that Tua has done. And I think, and I've looked at the film already, and I noticed that there were – people are saying that there's some similarities between Brock Purdy and Tua, but Tua's decision-making and accuracy is head and shoulders above Brock Purdy or really many quarterbacks.
100%. Go look at the numbers.
It's not even close. So that's going to be the deciding factor. I think Ravens fans who believe that they expect similar success because of Tua's lack of postseason success need to look at the one thing that...
We haven't been there. He's never been there. So it's irrelevant.
Yeah, it is irrelevant. Exactly. I agree. But his decision-making makes him dangerous for a Ravens team that really predicates their success on confusing the quarterback. I think Tua's one of those guys where he'll be able to read a defense and make a concise throw. I think the knock on him has been, can he throw the deep pass? But that's been refuted because Tyreek's having also an MVP season to go along with a lot of success.
He leads the league and passes 20 yards or more. So that narrative is a false narrative, and it's fake news, okay? So it's all the above. Get it out of here. It's gone. Doesn't need to be there. The man is the most accurate thrower in the NFL, 20 yards or more. And it's not even close.
Yeah. I think that's what I like so much about this matchup. It's the Ravens thrive on being the underdogs, but I think the Dolphins are truly the underdog of the AFC, especially considering the other teams that are in there. The Dolphins are really primed to make noise, and if the Ravens take them lightly,
I don't think they are. I don't think they are. Look, you know, your last game against the 49ers, I thought that it was going to be a really good matchup, and it was for the first 2 minutes of the game, and then you guys took over, okay? And Brock Purdy, there are similarities in his game to Tua, right? And here's some stuff for you. Tua's a spot thrower. There's no shame in that. That's how the offense is predicated on. You need to be in the right place at the right time. But Tua can put it wherever it needs to go, whether it's a 2 yard slant pass or a 30 or 50 yard, you know, post to the end zone, right? It does not matter. At the end of the day, Tua just needs to know that second and third read is what's going to be important in this game on Sunday. Yes. You go back and look at last year's game. The first three quarters, Tua was flustered because he wasn't looking at those second and third reads.
Mm-hmm.
When he got into the fourth quarter, granted, you guys were playing some, you know, just basic defense in the beginning. Stupid. You guys tried to do other things in the fourth, but he was starting to look at those second and third options, which is why Jaylen Waddle got a lot of yards. And then next thing you know, you guys had to compensate for it. And then Tua's one-on-one, or Tyreek's one-on-one. And so it was just insane in the fourth quarter last year. You don't want that to happen again, vice versa. I think this game's going to be close. I think it's going to come down to, you know, I think it's going to come down to 6 points or less. And it's going to be who has the ball last. And what I mean by that is I don't think it's going to come down to the offense. It's going to come down to the defense. And whoever has the ball last, can the defense make the stop? And if the defense can make the stop, that team will win the game.
Well, and that's my main key, and I want to get your opinion on it because I think the Dolphins' defense has been, I've used this word plenty in this call so far, but underrated, and headlined by Bradley Chubb. Do you think that they're going to do things differently because Lamar played probably the top two or three defense in the league and made him look foolish? Do you see the Dolphins learning from the 49ers' mistake and making things happen?
If our defensive coordinator, Vic Fangio, and Mike McDaniel, our head coach, weren't taking notes during that game, there's a problem because at the end of the day, the Miami Dolphins, in order to be successful, are going to have to disguise and do things a little bit differently than they've done throughout this year. My hope is that what we see on Sunday is something that the Ravens aren't prepared for because the one thing I know about Harbaugh teams is they come prepared and they're ready to go. And so that's going to be the thing for the Dolphins and the Ravens, is who is going to find something new in their offense or defense? What wrinkle is going to come out and surprise the opponent? And based on that, I think it will be the team that has the upper hand. And both teams are known for it, right? Yeah. Vic Fangio can run a defense all year, and then all of a sudden he gets into the playoffs and he's running a totally new scheme. Vic Fangio's been known to do that his entire career.
Yeah.
McDaniel is the man, can sit there and run the ball 40 times a game, and then all of a sudden Tua's throwing 50 yards. The next game, Tua's, you know, pass attempts were 50, and you're like, what happened? Night and day difference. So both teams, I think, can do that, right? Lamar can run the ball any which way to Sunday, but Lamar can sit back in the pocket and sling it any way he needs to. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, Zay Flowers and Odell Beckham, I mean, they're the best wide receiving pair that you guys have had in the last, I mean, probably ever, in the history of the Ravens. Let's just be honest. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, because if there's one Achilles heel for Ozzie Newsome and Eric DaCosta, it's been drafting a wide receiver, but Zay Flowers might have changed that narrative.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that, you know, Zay Flowers has had a foot soreness, but didn't show in that game, and he looked like he's going to be a big part of the Ravens' plans moving forward. Can I get your thoughts on one aspect of the game in which you think may favor the Dolphins? Because right now I'm leaning towards the offense versus the Ravens' defense just because of Tua's ability to make those reads, but I want to get your thoughts on it.
I'm going to go the opposite, man. I think our defense is the best thing about us right now. And you said the name, Bradley Chubb had his best year as an NFL player under Vic Fangio in Denver. Now Vic Fangio is our defensive coordinator there. And I don't know if you've watched the film on him, but Bradley Chubb is a monster right now. He's playing like one too. And we still got guys like Emmanuel Agba and, you know, we call them salt and pepper, Zach Sealer and Christian Wilkins. I mean, that's a monster front four. You really, and there's still a lot of great, Andrew Van Ginkle playing at linebacker. Duke Riley's really good. And then I think we have the best secondary in the NFL. You know, Jalen Ramsey, Xavier Howard, Javon Holland, Brandon Jones. I mean, it is a monster defense. And so there's easily seven, maybe even eight players that could make a Pro Bowl this year. And there will be first and second all-team players on that entire defense. Dolphins win on Sunday, the X factor is going to be how they contain Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
And if they can do that, they're going to win. If they can't, it's going to be a very tough game to overcome.
Yeah, and it's hard to disagree with you considering what happened with the 49ers and really a lot of other top-tier teams in the league this year. Once Lamar Jackson is out of containment and they can't put a head on him or a helmet on him, it's tough sledding. But you're right. The Dolphins had that front four. And they had Jalen Ramsey out there. They had that secondary where he can lock up Zay Flowers or at least potentially place him on man-to-man coverage and have zone elsewhere and really confuse Lamar and make him make reads that he really shouldn't be making. So it's one of those games, and I told Ravens fans this last week, this is the game, even regardless of the outcome of the 49ers game, this game decides the AFC for sure, and you're really hyping it up to be that. It's going to be one of those games where a mistake or two or a late possession or two can really determine the outcome of the game.
Everything's going to be a factor in this game, including coaches' challenges, how they utilize timeouts, how, you know, the offense gets the plays off before the countdown clock is off. I'm talking about those little things is what's going to cost the team a win or a loss in this game. That's how evenly matched I think these two teams are.
Yeah, and John Harbaugh's not known for clock management or challenges or timeouts, at least not in the favor that Ravens fans will talk about on social media for sure.
Look, I mean, I told you before we started recording, you know, I grew up in the Maryland area. I worked for 105.7 The Fan. I know Jeremy Kahn and Rob Long and Ed Norris and all those guys over there. And Rita, the NFL chick, who I think you just had on your podcast. Yeah.
That's
well.
My girl.
Yep. She's awesome. Mm-hmm. And you know, a lot of the Baltimore crew over there, the Baltimore media, Brett Hollander, the list keeps on going. Mm-hmm. A lot of them, you know, over time, what you see is the narrative, what they see a good NFL team is, right? So your standard has been up here for years.
Mm-hmm.
The little things that you guys complain about I'm like, as a Dolphins fan, thinking, man, I wish I could complain about these things. All right. So we just got up to this level. Jeremy Kahn used to always say, good teams find a way to win.
Mm-hmm.
And I hated him saying that for so long. He said that for years. It was one of my biggest pet peeves about him. Like, oh my God, I can't. Because for there was like a 5-year stretch that the Dolphins lost like a record number of games by one possession or less.
I remember those days.
It was horrible, right? And he would always tell me, he said, Stephen, good team. It's not about how close it is. It's good teams find a way to win. And that has stuck with me, especially working in the South Florida media market now, sports market. Is I kind of measure how the Dolphins are doing based on, are they getting those wins? This is the first time we've had 11 wins in a very long time.
Crazy.
And we have a chance to get 13. And I think that the measurement stick for the Miami Dolphins is going to be the next two games. And if we can find a way to win those games against Baltimore, against Buffalo, look out, NFL, because y'all have been put on notice that we are here and we're here to slay. And it's going to get, we're going to get down, we're going to get dirty, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I don't think that's a rough two stretch of games against the number one team that's been playing great the entire season and the hottest team in the league. If you guys win those two games, you deserve the one seed. You deserve two byes. If you accomplish that. So that's
I ain't mad at you, man. I'm not mad. We'll just take a seat right there in the AFC Championship game. We'll be good.
Just the notion that's of that. I keep forgetting that you guys had to play the Bills, but I think you guys should win that game. I love the way the Dolphins team is set up from top to bottom. I saw things on tape when I watched film that I expected to see from the 49ers side, which I didn't see, which made me so convincingly predict the Ravens to win that one.
Divisional opponents are so tough, right? Like, we are a better team than the Buffalo Bills, but you wouldn't know it by our record against them. And the reason why is the Miami Dolphins for years were mediocre at best, but we always found a way to beat Tom Brady. You go look at Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. Mm-hmm. The most success any football team had over his tenure as a New England Patriot was the Miami Dolphins. Because we knew how to play him. We knew how to get inside his head. We knew what we needed to do to knock him off his game.
Mm-hmm.
And divisional opponents know you better than you know yourself. You go look at this past week in the Kansas City Chiefs and the Vegas Raiders. Are the Vegas Raiders better than the Kansas City Chiefs? No. But Vegas knows their divisional opponent. They know Patrick Mahomes. They know what they can do and they can't do against them. And so I think when it comes to divisional opponents, records go out the window. And, you know, it's a matter of what chess game are they going to play against you? And so I think we're better than Buffalo, but we need to prove it on the field. And that is just being one step ahead of them. And for the last 5 years, Buffalo's been one step ahead of us. And I don't know how we overcome that, but we need to in order to make it to a Super Bowl.
Well, you got the team to do it. And you're definitely preaching to the choir about divisional opponents because the Ravens lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and it's been weeks, and I'm still trying to figure out how that happened. I mean, the Steelers are
a divisional opponent. You have to put records out the window.
You're absolutely right. You have to do it. All right, well, let's get your final thoughts. I know we've been here for a little bit of time. I know I gotta let you go. What is your prediction? I kind of see where you're going with it, but, I mean, it could go either way, and I'm kind of there with you. I'm on the fence. I'm still even trying to figure out right now who I'm going to pick, but let's get your thoughts because I know you got to go. Ravens, Dolphins, AFC number one seed, likely on the line. Who do you have?
Well, look, I think the thing for me is it's tough. I can sit here and be a homer and say, look, the Dolphins are going to win. They're going to kill Baltimore. Look, I'm not naive. The Dolphins have never been in this position before. This is a brand new area that we're treading water in. And in order to win this game on Sunday, we have to do some things that we've never done. And I think it's our time. So because I think it's our time, because I think we're ready to take that next step, and because, just like you think, we have all the weapons to do it. It's not that we don't. We have everything we need to be the best football team in the NFL, to be anybody who comes in our way. The question is, will we do it? Will we execute when it's crunch time in the fourth quarter? Or is Mike McDaniel going to make the right play calls? Is Vic Fangio going to call the right coverages against Lamar Jackson? All of those things are going to play into account. And so, look, if I had to guess, I'm going to say the Dolphins are going to win. Obviously, I'm a Dolphins fan, but I think it's going to be a close game. And I'm looking at, like, the first person of 30 wins. So, I mean, that's how I see it. And it could be 27-24, but I think the first team to get to 30 will win the game.
I like that.
That's where I'm at with it. So it's going to be close game, field goal or less.
Yeah, and then there's no knocking that, of course. And you know you're a Dolphins fan, but I see some good things from that team where it could go that way if the Ravens aren't careful and the Dolphins come correct. I love your head coach. I think he's the best.
Daniel's awesome.
I love him. In the league. I had Tomlin up there at my number one, but this year I think afterwards I'm
you have him as number one.
I think he's the best head coach in the league. It's all McDaniels or Tomlin.
Yeah, McDaniel.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, for sure. I think he's the best. I love him. I think he's good for the game, and I think he's a great play caller for sure.
He's, you know, this is real quick, just as a little side note. This is the seventh straight head coach for the Miami Dolphins that has been a first-time head coach.
That's crazy.
And so for the Dolphins, when we were 2 years ago after we let Flores go, I was like, look, I don't necessarily want a first-time head coach. Obviously, the track record had showed that was not what we needed to do. But I did say, if we were going to get one, McDaniel's the type of guy that I would want. Because you go look at Sean McVay, you go look at Kyle Shanahan, you look at these new wave of young head coaches in the NFL, McDaniel fits that mold. He fits that scheme. And the one thing I can say about McDaniel is you've been able to see it on Hard Knocks on HBO on Tuesday nights. He is a player's coach, and he takes care of his players, and he's in tune with his players. He knows what his player wants, and those players will go through a brick wall for him.
Yep.
And that's important. And, you know, the days of Harbaugh or, you know, Fishers or Billicks, oh, they're gone. They're long gone. Coughlins, you're not going to see those in the NFL anymore. It just doesn't work. I think the exception is your guy, John Harbaugh. I love John.
Yeah.
I love him. In my opinion, I think he's the best head coach in the NFL right now.
I have him at two because I love McDaniel so much, and I've been a Tomlin homer since he became a Steelers head
coach. I
think
it's Harbaugh, Tomlin, and it's tough for me to put McDaniel in the top five yet because he hasn't won a playoff game, and he needs to prove his worth, right?
Well, let me rephrase.
Exciting-wise, he's great.
He's my favorite head coach. I don't know if he's – I can't put him at best because I think Belichick – and, you know, there's other guys with higher pedigrees.
Hey, put it, you know what, man? Belichick's out of my top two. He is. Because he hasn't won without Brady.
That's the notion that he has in the shoulders now. That's why I think he's going to leave and go somewhere and try and win one without him. But
Chargers, he'll be there with Herbert. I think him and Herbert make a lot of sense.
And they win the Super Bowl next year because that's crazy.
No, that's not going to happen. Because Miami's going to win the Super Bowl in the next 2 or 3 years.
Bro. All right.
Dynasty, baby. Let's go.
Well, thanks for joining us. Tell the folks at home where they can find your stuff.
You can follow me on all social media at Stephen D. SKPL. Spread kindness, positivity, and love. I'm all about kindness, positivity, and love. The world needs more of it. We need to get this negativity out of here. Look, I'm a Dolphins fan. You're Ravens fans. But, man, there's nothing but kindness, positivity, and love around here. You guys go to Dolphins Talk on YouTube. You guys can catch me most weekday mornings or early afternoons for Clock Blockers. And then on Tuesday nights, I do a show called That's Another Miami Dolphins First Down with one of the local sports guys on Fox down here, Josh Moser. So we're doing that tonight live. So if you guys want to check that out, it's Tuesday nights. 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You guys can check that out. And I appreciate you having me on, man. I'm excited.
Thank you for joining us. I mean, man, you have a busy schedule. I think I need to get on your level. Every time I bring a host in, they're talking about how they have like five shows a week. They're doing two or three things. I need to catch up. You guys are...
You're going to get there, man. You're doing great. And you're in a very untapped market, in my opinion, for, you know, YouTube and podcasting, and Baltimore needs that. And I think you're the guy to help bring it there. So I'm excited for what you got going on, man.
Man, I appreciate your kind words. Thank you so much for joining us. When we get back, we'll talk about final thoughts. We'll give my thoughts on the Ravens and Dolphins game. We'll see what happens. But based on what he's saying, I'm kind of agreeing with him. I think it's going to be a close game. We'll touch on it next on the Ravens Talk Podcast. Welcome back to the Ravens Talk Podcast. Again, that was Stephen Daniels, Clockblockers host with DolphinsTalk.com. And he definitely had that underdog mentality that made me really appreciate how far the Ravens have come and where the Dolphins are trying to get to. So big game coming up. And my confidence for this game is not the same as the 49ers. Let me just be honest with you. The things that I saw in the 49ers game, and we touched on it, Brock Purdy hasn't seen that level of defense from any defense until it came up against the Ravens. And the way he reads defenses gave McDaniel the blueprint. I'm sorry, not McDaniel, McDonald the blueprint to to force him to making decisions he wasn't accustomed to doing, making quick reads quicker than he needed to, making reads that were incorrect and cost him interceptions and turnovers and loss of downs or what have you. That is not what you're going to get with Tua. Tua is really, really great at making decisions. He's seen it before. He's played the Ravens last year, and he stole a game last year. And one of Mike McDonald's first tests as an NFL defensive coordinator. Not pretty. Not pretty. So with all that being said, what do I think? Do I think the Ravens get that one seed, seize it, take it, and get an opportunity for a bye? Do I think they fall short and forced to become Buffalo Bills fans and hope that the Dolphins lose and get a win against Pittsburgh in Baltimore in the final week of the season? I feel bad for the Dolphins. I really want them to win. If it was any other team they were going against, I'd give them a puncher's chance. But the Ravens are just playing at a completely different level right now. And there are things that I saw in the 49ers game that has me thinking, who's going to stop these guys? Now, the Dolphins have the team to beat the Ravens. Let's just put it out there. That front four is special. They have a lockdown corner in Jalen Ramsey that if Vic Fangio does it correctly, can completely eliminate a receiver. I'm assuming they're going to have Ramsey on Zay Flowers the entire day. I don't see the possibility of him being locked onto OBJ. But with that being said, the blueprint's still there. That's the issue with when you're playing a team like the Ravens. It's why the 49ers approached the game the way they did and why hopefully the Dolphins learn from their mistake for their sake and don't do the same. All you have to do is run the ball. Run the ball, alleviate the ability of the Dolphins to rush the passer. Run the ball, set the tone for the game. And afterwards, when the Dolphins are forced to bring guys into the line of scrimmage to help stop the run, then you start passing the football. Now, in the 49ers game, the 49ers are going to give the Ravens an opportunity. One, their front four is pretty dynamic. They're able to stop the run by getting a little bit of pressure with the front four. The linebackers of the 49ers really stayed back and reacted to wherever the ball went. So if you notice, the linebackers stayed back, waited for it to be a run game, run play, and then they pounced and they attacked. And the front four of the 49ers were disruptive enough where the linebackers were able to hit those gaps and stop the run. So that was their way to success. But the Ravens early on, which is a testament to Todd Monken, learned that early and instead went straight for the pass. Use play action plays, bootlegs, use Lamar's legs to make plays happen, extend plays, and really force the linebackers to react to the pass later than they necessarily would have, and they won the game. So the Dolphins are going to have to find a way to stop the run without giving up too much of the pass, and it's not going to happen. It can't happen. I don't see it happening. Now, I think it's going to be a close game. Why? Because I really, really like what Tua's been able to accomplish. I think he's going to be able to keep pace with the Ravens. I think it's going to be a close game. This is not going to be a four interception game. I don't see it happening. Crazier things have happened, but I just don't see it happening. I think the Ravens win 27-19. Ravens. I think that Tua definitely has the ability to extend plays. He's able to read defenses correctly. I really like the way he deciphers defenses and how he holds safeties and sometimes even corners with his eyes before making a read somewhere else. So expect a close game. It's not going to be a laugher like it was on Monday Night Football. So we'll see. It's a shame that this is the 1 o'clock game. I know there was no chance that this was going to go to NBC for a Sunday night game. The CBS was no way they were going to stop this game have this game move to NBC. This is just a huge matchup, so much playoff implications. So that's my take on it. I really feel for the Dolphins. They're an underdog and they're still dangerous. There's a chance they can make a playoff run. They are not to be trifled with, but I think that this is the Ravens' year. I think that what the Ravens have been able to accomplish in the short amount of time that Todd Monken has been able to implement his system to go along with Greg Roman's style of offense has been magical, and it's paid dividends. But that offense is just too much. Lamar Jackson is too much, and that Ravens defense is focused, laser. We talked about it earlier in the show. This team is laser-focused. John Harbaugh has received a lot of flack, sometimes even from me, but he deserves so much credit for what he's been able to accomplish with this team, and I expect the Ravens to pull out the win. But we'll see. We'll talk about it. If the Ravens win, they lock the number one seed. Week 18 is just a formality. Rest your starters. Rest your mind. Just pick up a cup of coffee, and enjoy what could be just a scrimmage in Week 18. But if the Ravens lose, the division's on the line, assuming the Browns win their game this week. Lots of implications continue. But all the Ravens have to do to lock up the AFC and relax until the divisional round of the postseason is beat the Dolphins. We'll see. That's going to do it for us here at the Ravens Talk Podcast. Again, thanks so much for Steven Daniels for joining us at DolphinsTalk.com. Huge guest, a Maryland guy. He's a military brat, he told me, but he has his roots in Baltimore. A lot of you guys who are watching this podcast are going to know exactly who he is and what he's accomplished in Baltimore. So huge shout out for him for joining us. It's going to be a big game. Again, not the type of setup you're going to expect from the 49ers game, I don't think. I think the Dolphins had the offensive potential and a QB who understands coverages. It's going to make this a game, but I think the Ravens come out on top. We'll find out. Not all hope is lost if they lose this now, but I think the Ravens come out on top. In Week 18, we're talking about who we rest as the Ravens embark on the very, very magical quest for a third Lombardi trophy. Again, that's going to do it for us here. I'll see you next week.